Turn with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verse 14. If you are joining our broadcast series on 1 Thessalonians, I bid you welcome. We are in the process of going verse by verse through this book, as we have in the past gone through different books in our studies. The point is not to fill radio time. It is not to provide entertainment, but it is to get you, hopefully, into the Word of God, to study it, to meditate on it, to hide its truth in your hearts, in your lives, and to allow it to affect change that will bring you and all believers into a closer conformity to the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we turn to our scripture this morning, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." Now let's go back, please. Verse 14, "ye, brethren." Any time in the scripture that you're reading, especially in the New Testament, unless the context points otherwise, brethren will indicate that the writer is speaking to saved individuals, folks who knew Christ as Savior. Now, obviously, the context, say, for instance, talking in the Old Testament about Joseph and his brethren. Well, there you're not talking about a spiritual condition as much as you are talking about a blood relatedness, kinsfolk, if you will. In this sense, though, we're talking about folks who have been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ through the grace of God. He says, "For ye, brethren, became followers." Now, the word follower comes from a Greek word that translated means imitator. "You, my brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye," notice please how careful he is to tie the identity of the church to Jesus Christ. All right? This is a picky point, perhaps, and I don't mean to make a great issue of it, but I think I'll pass it on anyway. We hear a good deal in religious circles about Jesus. You'll hear things concerning worship services or worship celebrations that we'll talk about. We'll just all get together and praise Jesus. This is not a hard and fast rule, but it is an indicator. If somebody wants to talk about Jesus, Jesus this, Jesus that, and you never hear the word Lord Jesus, or you don't hear the title Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, I think would be proper terminology to use, when you don't hear that, it is an indicator of a possible departure from the Word of God as far as the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Is he, in fact, your Lord? You say, yes, he's my Lord. When somebody does not make reference to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it is entirely possible, and all too frequently today, it is likely that Jesus Christ is not their Lord. They want Jesus, the great physician. They want Jesus, the Son of God, but they don't want Jesus, even as his position as Son of God, to be the Lord of their life. As I said, I pass that on to you. It is one of those things that may not be written in stone, but it ought to alert you to the possibility of the people that you're following, or the singer whose music you are responding to, perhaps does not have the relationship with Jesus Christ that you have, or that you ought to have, or that the Bible says is available. I realize you can waste a lot of time turning over every stone, looking for worms and snakes or whatever, but my friend, there is also a danger in being gullible, of being too trusting, Just because somebody claims to be a Christian, because somebody claims to have been called to the ministry, does not make it so. Question. Analyze. Test. Prove all things. For ye, brethren, became followers, imitators of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. He's drawing a parallel here, and he's showing a similarity in their experience. The Thessalonian Christians have been abused, have been persecuted by the other folks around them, just as the churches in Judea have been persecuted and had been harassed by the Jews in Judea. In both cases, we have believers being persecuted by their own countrymen. Now, he says in verse 15, but notice, please, that 14 and 15 are a part of the same sentence. Beginning with verse 14, that same sentence runs completely through verse 15 and into 16. Come to the conclusion of 16 before you come to the first period. So even though we're going to take it verse by verse, I want you to keep in mind this thing is a lot more than just one verse, and the thoughts revealed in one verse are going to be connected organically to the thoughts in the next verse. All right, let me read then verse 14 and 15 and 16 together. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, that the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Now, let's go back then. We've already looked at verse 14, and 14 ends with, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed. The Jews are the antecedent of the word who in verse 15. The Jews who both killed the Lord Jesus and, what he's pointing out here is the fact that not only were they responsible for the betrayal, for the giving up of Christ to death. You see, as a Roman province, Judea did not have the right, specifically the Jews, the Jewish leadership of Judea did not have the civil and political authority to execute anyone. As a province, the power of life and death resided entirely with the empire, that is, with the Roman Empire. So what the Jews did, they gave up Jesus Christ to Pontius Pilate's control. They said, he is a malefactor, he is a sinner, he is a preacher of sedition, and he ought to be killed. Now, we can't kill him, but we're delivering him up to you so that you can do it. All right, we found him guilty. You just go ahead and put your signature on the death warrant, and we'll get along with it. But they didn't have the authority themselves to kill him. But it is by their action, their intent, that Paul picks up on here, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the Roman prophets. They had had a long history of persecuting the men of God who told them the Word of God, who preached the Word of God, who condemned sin. They didn't want to hear it, just like today. People don't want to hear that judgment is coming. People don't want to hear that America is going to have to answer if America doesn't turn to God. America has turned its back on Jesus Christ, has turned its back on the Word of God, has denied God his proper place in society. And when that happens, any nation that has followed that same course inevitably is dust in the wind. Now, you'll note here he says they killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. One reading is they've chased us out. You see, they didn't want Paul there. He is one that you see in the book of Acts that was accused of turning the world upside down. And certainly things were turned upside down, but it wasn't the world. The individuals, it was the lives of people in the world. You see, religion cannot really change the individual, not on that basic level of the heart. You can change certain exterior things, the way perhaps a mode of speaking or a mode of behavior that is consistent with the teaching of a particular religious practice, but you can't change the heart. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible condemns all under the judgment of God because we're all sinners. And no religion can change the fact that we have sinned. However, faith in Jesus Christ can render us so that in the sight of God we are holy and spotless and without blame in Christ Jesus. No religion can do that, but God can. He says, they killed the Lord Jesus, their own prophets, persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. Now, lest you think that he is just being hateful or anti-Semitic, let's look at this. You'll notice that he goes ahead and expands on this business of their contrariness. He says in verse 16, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved. They don't want Paul to preach the gospel to the Gentiles because the Gentiles will respond to it. As you look at the book of Acts and the events there, you'll find that Paul always went to the Jew first. And then when the Jews rejected him and wouldn't let him into the synagogue anymore, then he would turn to the Gentiles. And often you will find there was such a manifestation of acceptance of what Paul was saying. The Gentile population of some of these cities turned out in mass to hear him. The Jews got jealous, and they didn't want him proclaiming Jesus Christ. He says, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway. For the wrath of God is come upon them to the uttermost. And now at the time of this writing, I believe in the introductory remarks we pointed out that 1 Thessalonians was written probably sometime around A.D. 50, A.D. 51. We are about 20 years chronologically from the destruction of Jerusalem. And he is pointing out here this idea of coming wrath. The word wrath here comes from a Greek word that means anger demonstrated in punishment. And God's anger, because of the rejection the Jews exhibited toward Jesus Christ. You remember that when the scribes and the Pharisees were before Pilate, and he said, well, shall I crucify your king? And they said, we have no king but Caesar. And you remember, he said, you know, in so many words, there he went through that old Jewish ritual of the washing of the hands. He said, I'm innocent of the blood of this just man. And they cried out and they said, his blood be on us and on our children. And they called for accountability before God for the way Jesus Christ was executed. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Oh, well, the clock says it's time to sign off. I really don't like to quit that lamely, but we've got to. I hope you'll join me the next time for the next edition of The Bible Says.